In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. See from the insert in your bulletin this morning that our sermon text is Numbers chapter 6, reading there verses 22 to 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." This is God's word. Your friends in Christ Jesus, who just welcomed him again in his birth in Bethlehem. The standing joke of the Christmas season is how you give a child a new toy for Christmas, and the child plays with it for a while, and then sets it aside and goes back to playing again with an old toy, something more familiar. I'm sure that we all receive some nice new things for Christmas. It's likely that most, if not all of us, receive some nice new blessings from God this past year. There's no reason for us to expect those nice new things in blessing form from God in this new year to come. At the same time, if you're like me, you will very often return to the familiar. Return to the comfort and the familiarity of the blessings that are repeated over and over again in our lives as Christians. One of those blessings, one of those old familiar blessings that is repeated over and over again are the words of our text. When you and I leave this building every Sunday to go out into our personal mission fields, to go out once again to fight the fight of faith, we go out having these words almost always be the very last thing that we hear in worship, which is one reason why we sing the closing hymn before the benediction, so that the benediction is the last thing that we hear and receive before leaving. Those ancient blessings that we receive in the benediction are what I'd like to take a few minutes this morning and talk about these ancient blessings for a brand new year. And they are the Father's protection, our Savior's grace, and the Spirit's peace. You notice when you hear the Aaronic benediction, it's called that because God gave it, told Moses to give it to Aaron to use with his people, that it really has a Trinitarian form. It really, in a way, is a very brief summary of the Apostles' Creed. It talks about the three persons of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But we remember, of course, that the works of each of the persons of God is also worked by all the persons of God. But in beautiful Hebrew poetry, it talks about the blessings that we have, first of all, in the Father's protection. And the first verse, also called the distich, shows us in Hebrew poetry how that's emphasized. He says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." That's really not two separate things. That's really how the Lord blesses us, is specifically by keeping us safe, by giving us each day our daily bread, by sending his angels to watch over us so that we don't strike our foot against a stone, by ruling the universe for the sake of the church, so that all things work together for our good. The Lord bless you is not a general vague hope of some good thing or other. It is God's promise that I am going to keep you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over your coming and your going from this time forth and even forever. Our Father in heaven imprints his name on us with these words and says, you are mine. Not only because I created you, but because I redeemed you. Because I called you to be my own. And so I'm not going to be distant. I'm not going to be far off. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. But rather, I will keep you. You'll always be in my sight. You'll always be in with arm's reach. You'll always be in my care. And then in the second verse, in the second distich, we look a little bit more closely at the work of our Savior. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord's face shining on us is in the fact that he has been gracious to us. The Lord's face shining on us is the idea of acceptance, of approval, of recognition, of looking at us in a way that says, you are what I want you to be as my child. And all of those things are possible as he explains the Lord be gracious to you. In Psalm 31, David says God's being gracious to us means that God has showed us his unfailing love. Asaph, in verse 80, describes grace as God having saved us. God's being gracious to us is not what the Indiana author Philip Gully describes in his book, If God's Grace is True, Why God Will Save Every Person. Gully is a Quaker who teaches at Huntington College, and he wrote this book about God's grace. And the point of the book is that in the end, for no other reason than God is love, everybody's going to go to heaven. God's grace is not universalism. God's grace is not that against his word, God decides to take everybody to heaven and not send anybody to hell. God's blessing is make his face shine on you and be gracious to us in an action. And that action, of course, is having sent Jesus to be our Savior. God's grace is that he has sent Jesus Christ. That's why people are saved. People are saved by God's action of being obedient for us under the law, by offering his holy life for us in sacrifice on the cross. It is true that that sacrifice is universal. God has been gracious to the whole world. God has his face shine on the whole world by sending Jesus to be the Savior of the world. But that doesn't mean that everybody is going to go to heaven. When the Israelites received that blessing from Aaron and his sons, after they offered the blood sacrifices of the animals, we might say that they, in anticipation, received that blessing of the action of God's grace in the coming Savior. When you and I receive that blessing of God's grace, we are receiving it as those who have already had it done for us. But there's still that anticipatory element as we await for the redemption even of our bodies, as God fulfills that when Jesus comes. When a Jew in Israel heard Aaron's son say, "The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you," that believing Israelite trusted that that was already true, that that is an accomplished fact, that that was being cared for by the sacrifice of the Savior. And then in the third distich, we look a little bit more towards the work of the Holy Spirit. "The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." That's really our call to faith. The Lord turns back to us, calling us to repentance, and gives us peace in the saving knowledge of Christ. I've shared with some of you the story when I was in high school. I did something I shouldn't have, and that's enough information for now. And I really disappointed the dean, who I really had high respect for. And he walked by me, and I was bragging about this thing to somebody else. And he walked by, and he said to me, "George, I really hope you're proud of yourself," and turned away from me. That was a long time ago. But I can still hear his voice. I can still see him turn his face away from me because of that. And years later, of course, being next day, being the forgiving man that he is, turned his face back to me and said, "George, you know, I forgive you. Don't worry about it. It's okay." And that forgiveness, you know, gave me peace in my heart. And that's really what God has done to us as he brings to us the redemption of Christ, as he calls us to faith and gives us the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit fills our hearts then with that wonderful peace that we have. And at Christmas time especially, we think of that gift of peace. God was looking away from us, was turning away from us because of our sins. But then in Christ, he turned back to us, and by the Holy Spirit has called us to be his own and said, "I am yours. You are mine. I forgive you." Sometimes we cry out with the psalm writer in Psalm 13 with David, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" You know, my story aside, in your own life, think about some time when your own father turned away from you in anger or in disgust or in shame. How that made us feel. But then when he turned back to us, how that filled our hearts with peace. The Holy Spirit gives us peace, comfort, and certainty in Christ. Jesus told his disciples before his death, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." When Aaron and his sons put this blessing on God's people, the people knew and heard that God was putting his name on them. "They will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Every time that I speak the Aaronic benediction over us, I am putting the Lord's name on us. And we go out into this world as the children of the Heavenly Father, as we talked about on Christmas. We are the true Israelites who share the faith of our spiritual ancestors. The date on the calendar, as time marches on, doesn't really matter, because God does not change. His name doesn't change. That familiar, comfortable blessing that we have so often, in the midst of all the new daily blessings that we have, will always be there. Samuel declared of that Lord who speaks this benediction, "He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind." Amen.